Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's scripture is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united, and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, so 15 years ago, did a triathlon in Clear Lake, and yes, in the lake and around the lake. And I started the triathlon with a 500-yard swim, followed by Dale on the bike doing a 13.5-mile ride around Clear Lake, and then Scott did the 3-mile run. And I've been a swimmer my entire life, and I used to swim with the Master Swim Club, and I swam 2 to 3, 4 days a week, depending on my week. And I was in really very good shape as far as swimming goes. But the day of the race was really, really windy, and the waves were probably like 5 feet high, or at least they felt like they were 100 feet high when I was in the water churning it up. And anybody been to Clear Lake? It is not clear. Okay, right? It's actually a great lake to be on and by, but really being in it, it's kind of gross. And when it was churning so much, it was this gross green and gray and churning up all kinds of good stuff. So icky water. And I found myself swimming kind of interestingly. So the waves were sort of timed fairly regularly, so I could get in a couple strokes and do a, how about that? I could turn my head and do a breath and let the wave kind of come over my head, then turn my head back, do a couple more strokes. And so I pretty much swam the entire race like that. Coming back, I was swimming with the waves, but coming from the back, it really wasn't all that much better because I kind of had to make sure I got to the top of the wave, otherwise I'd be completely submerged by the wave. And it was less than ideal. A number of people didn't even finish the swim part of the race and just got out of the water because it was so awful. And when I made it back to shore, my knees were shaking and I was gasping for air, and I was really honestly glad to be alive. It had been a very scary ordeal. And yet the swim was successful because I chose not to fight the waves. I chose not to try to master the waves. There was nothing I could do about the waves. They were clearly, power of water is strong, and there was nothing I could do with that power of water. And so in a sense, I had to go with the flow of the water. So I learned the rhythm of the water and made it work for myself. Had I been fighting those waves, if I'd been going into those waves, I would have had a mouthful of water all the time. And as I said, it's not clear and it's not the kind of water you want to ingest, just so you know. Living a life of grace is also about going with the flow. But it's going with the flow of Christ in the daily workings of our lives. So instead of the waves of the water, going with the flow of Christ in our lives. God gifts us with grace. We've been talking about grace now. This is our fifth week talking about the cycle of grace. And God gifts us with grace. And God's people, we are God's people, we are called to accept that grace, if you remember way back at the beginning, and allow our lives to unfold not from our own place, but from a place of grace. It is from this place of grace that we can serve God, and our sole purpose is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to serve God. When we do this, we live out kind of what was read by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. In verses 3 and 4, it says, "Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourself," contrary to society very much. It goes on to say, "Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others." We are people who have received free will from God. It goes all the way back to the garden, in the Garden of Eden, where God gave humans free will. And so we have a right to do whatever we please. We do. We have that free will. We've been given that right. But when we exercise that right, that free will to do as we please, as society leads us to do, society says, take what you can, get everything you can for yourself. That's society's way of doing it. We tend to go against the flow of grace. So we're going to talk today about living a grace-filled life. But what does it look like to live a grace-filled life? Well, it means starting by accepting God's grace. That was our first week, accepting God's grace, and spending time with God every single day. Prayer every day. Quiet time with God every day. And that can be a comfy place at home. It can also be on a walk, maybe not in this weather, but and it can be reading the inspired word of God. When we spend time with Christ, our relationship with Christ grows. And as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you discover who you are in Jesus Christ. And as you discover who you are and whose you are, because you belong to Christ, you discover that the gifts and the fruits that God has given you are there to benefit Christ. And as you discover your gifts and as you claim them, then you may use your gifts to serve and bring others to Jesus Christ. We are the place that is charged with bringing others into relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week, Melinda talked about using our gifts. And she talked about whatever those gifts may be. And some of them were not the glorious gifts that we think about. Some of them were some of the hard things in life. And if you saw my devotion in the update that went out Friday, I talk about using my gift of grief. I now can use it as a gift. I can use it to reach out to people. But whatever your gifts may be, let's just talk about a couple of them. Did you know that the gift of parenting is one of your gifts from God? And doing so in love is doing it out of a place of grace. Some of you are leaders of small groups or gigs, and growth and impact groups. And when you lead those groups out of a place of grace, people grow in their faith. And serving at Shared Blessings is a gift that we are able to do, a place to reach out through Shared Blessings. Driving your carpool for the athletic events and dance and school, whatever, activities, that is one of your gifts if you use it out of a place of grace. And loving our family when they seem kind of unlovable. We have challenges with our families. That's the way families are. But through a place of grace, we can endure some of those challenging moments. Serving on ministry teams here in the church. A lot of you are serving on ministry teams. And when we serve out of a place of grace, then we're focused on Christ and what Christ is asking us to do in this church. And so when we use all of our gifts from a place of grace, even the toughest things, even the hardest gifts, draw us closer into our relationship with God. Unfortunately, we often do not live our lives from a place of grace. We often live our lives in the cycle of works. And in the cycle of works, that's different than the cycle of grace. Melinda talked a little bit about that last week, that when we are living out of grace, it's all for God, and when we're living out of works, might look the same, but the outcome is somewhat different. So here's a look at some of those same gifts and how the results, how they're maybe a little bit different. The cycle of works means we're serving from a place of self-ambition and from a place where we need and seek validation for how we serve. So if we're going to lead a gift, if we're going to lead a gig as a part of our gifts, but we do it from a cycle of works, we are doing so by choosing the things that make us feel good, maybe don't help us grow, are a personal preference for us, but are not about our growth with Christ. And maybe as leaders, we desire recognition for that leading. We put ourselves first and not the growth of ourselves and others in the group, because it's all about us being a leader. Without accepting grace first, when we serve at Shared Blessings, it's about serving them or those people, okay? So there's me serving, and I feel good about serving, and then there's them, and they're getting served. Do you see how that can be a little, how that's out of the cycle of works? The mealtime is a place to feed others and to exalt ourselves as we do that. Without the idea of grace, when we parent our kids, we do so in a conditional way, and it may lead to resentment on our part and on their part. So we have to be careful how we parent. If we parent from a place of grace, some of those things that really rub us the wrong way can still end up good, and we can build up our children, our youth, our adult children in a way that helps them grow in their own grace. When we drive the carpool from a place of the cycle of works, we feel taken advantage of. We're always the one that has to drive. We're always the one that's there. And when we don't get recognition that we think we deserve, we resent even driving in carpool. And when we serve in church from a place of works, the ministry team does its work based on personal preference and does not consider the mission and vision of the church of Jesus Christ. The team then spins its wheels and gets frustrated in its work. But a team that does it from a place of grace can do so much more for the church. The cycle of works continues because we, as individuals and as a church, don't stop and spend time in prayer and spend quiet time with God as individuals and as a group. If you come to team meetings here at the church, there's an opening in prayer and most often a devotion. And that's not just to throw some more church down your throat. That's so we center ourselves on the work that is of the team for Jesus Christ. And then when we fill our day with things that are just getting us noticed by the community, things that get the attention of other worshipers, the result is that we don't connect with Jesus Christ and we don't experience the grace of God. Whenever we're working out of cycle of works, we feel undervalued. We wonder why God allows the world to work in such a way, and we think the church isn't meeting our needs because we're doing it out of a cycle of works. But when we do it out of a cycle of grace, the church can meet our needs. The cycle of works will not ever sustain us. The only lifestyle that sustains us for the long haul, through the tough times, through the things that come our way, is when we intentionally put Christ first in our lives, when we accept God's grace before anything else happens in our life. Before anything happens, we accept grace. Now, I know that's a tall order because society does not work that way, right? Society says, me, pick me. Yet the 4th century monks, so way back, 4th century, 400s, monks went out into the desert and lived in groups together, and they chose to live apart from society so they could focus on God. And they started their day in prayer and worship before they did any work, before they fed themselves, before they cooked breakfast, before they did anything. They focused on their relationship with God. And then in the midst of the workday, every hour or so, a bell would toll. And that was the signal to stop their work. So whatever they were doing, they stopped their work. And spend a little time in prayer and contemplation. This was their practice to thank God for the work that they were doing and to thank God and remember that the world that they still lived in. And then the bell would toll again and they'd go back to whatever work they were doing. This time of mindfulness in the midst of busyness is what sustained them in their relationship with God. It made their work meaningful because it was grounded in the grace of God, not grounded in the work that they were doing. Unfortunately, we aren't people that sequester ourselves out way away from people and never interact with one another. And so we don't live amongst life, right? In all the ways we don't live amongst life. We live in a society, in a community where we have responsibilities and where we have to interact with one another. But we live in a society that overall doesn't recognize and value a relationship with God. And so in the midst of our life and our day-to-day time, we have to intentionally pause and remember who we are in Jesus Christ and lift up a silent prayer of thanks. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, we cannot always be focused on work. We can take a moment to reflect. So we're gonna practice that fourth century stuff. I have a singing bowl, and I'm going to ring it, and I'm gonna invite you to take a moment to consider how you spend your days. Are you rushing through your schedule? Do you need to pause? Are you pausing? How does Jesus fit into your day-to-day life? So we're going to practice it. I know might not be very comfortable. We did some good silent time earlier. So consider your relationship with Christ. Oh, here we'll do it again. It is the cycle of grace that helps us create a sacred balance in our lives. In a world that is me-centered, a hectic, materialistic world in which we live in, the cycle of grace is our balance in life. So before you got up this morning, God's grace was at work in your life. I don't know if you know that or not. And so how you start your day is important. How you remember that grace, claim that grace, and live into that grace. See if you can notice the difference on how we might start our day. We could start our day with a to-do list, focusing on the things that bring us external recognition before we, you know, do what we need to do. Or we could start with Christ in a little quiet time and prayer and start from a place of grace. So going forward from here, how do we live into the cycle of grace? How do we live into this grace-filled life? If you look at your insert, there is it's kind of a work through for you to accept God's grace. And what would you like to do to kind of work through that? One of the things on there, the last one, is decluttering. Now, I've been doing a lot of decluttering as we're sorting through Dale's stuff. But declutter your schedule. Put things on your calendar that have value. Remove those things that don't build up God's kingdom and don't make so you're closer to Jesus Christ. And declutter your stuff. We are a society that values material possessions. We have lots of stuff. But this stuff can get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Declutter your relationships. I imagine there's people in all of our lives that bring us down. Maybe those people need to be decluttered. Those people in your life who are keeping you from your relationship with Jesus Christ. Those people who don't accept you for who God created you to be. Who are the people that need to be decluttered from your lives? Declutter your attitudes and your behaviors. We have some attitudes and behaviors that focus on what we think the world wants from us. And instead, we should focus on what Christ wants for us. Once you have decluttered your lives, find ways to stay close to Jesus Christ. Daily prayer, Bible reading, conversations with other faith believers, using your gifts, your fruits, to serve Christ. And as we head into this time of Lent, it's a great time to add study into your work. There are lots of different gigs and a new one even starting around Adam Hamilton's revival. Most of all, carve out time for what matters most. Time with Jesus Christ, that's probably first, should be first. Time with family and time with other believers. Time sharing your story with those who have yet to know Jesus Christ, because that's an important part of what we're called to do. And time serving and using our gifts. There are only 24 hours in a day, and if you're lucky enough to sleep for 6 to 8 of them, I don't always get to do that, that leaves 16 to 18 hours. And if you have a job or you have to go to school, what are you going to do with your time? You get to be in charge of your schedule and the schedule of your children, because I think we overbook our children as well. Are there things on your calendar that are helping you grow closer to Jesus Christ? If not, consider reclaiming your schedule at home, at the church, wherever you need to do that. The risk of not doing so leads to burnout and a distancing of ourselves from Jesus Christ. Whatever you choose to do, live a grace-filled life. I invite you to do it now, to get started now. And I've given you a plan. This is your homework, but this is your homework to take home and to figure out how you can be more grace-filled, live a more grace-filled life, and spend more time with Jesus Christ. And when you have a bad day and it doesn't happen, don't give up. Don't say, oh, well, 5 days in a row, and now I don't. Now I didn't. I got on the road earlier today because of the weather, and so I didn't do my morning quiet time and devotion with God. So I prayed in the car on my way here. I also prayed that I would make it because it was kind of yucky, but don't beat yourself up if it doesn't go very well. Just make an effort to get closer to Christ and to really live into that cycle of grace. We're human beings, and we are subject to living a selfish, self-centered life. But God knows that about us, and God can work with that. Whatever our imperfections is, God can work with it. And that's why there's grace. The God of grace knows we mess up. The God of grace knows we have bad days. And still God loves us because God sent Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. So I invite you to claim this grace for yourself and live in the cycle of grace. Spend some time doing that. Amen.